All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual coming off of a victory at Ryzen 40, quite the emphatic one, a knockout in the first round, a sub-40-second one taking place on the New Year's Eve card, and yeah, a great victory for Johnny Case over Nobumitsu Osawa, and great having Johnny on the show to talk a bit about that. How's everything going today, man?
No, everything's going good, man. Everything's going good. Wrestling season here in Iowa coming to an end. My boy's been hitting it pretty hard this year, so that's been most of my time. But yeah, life's good, man. I'm happy.
Well, that must be an interesting thing to see then, just sort of like their own, you know, journey through the martial arts, as it were. Like, can you kind of talk about that? That must be very, you know, interesting and fulfilling in its own way, I would think.
Oh, man, it's the best thing as a father, you know, to see your kids go out there and just strive at something that's so, like, incredibly hard, you know. And go out there and not only, you know, go out there and do well, but go out there and fail and come back and you know, persevere. And as a father to see that out of their boys, it's just that nothing makes them more proud and more, you know, fulfilled than that. So, yeah, it's awesome. And wrestling, I don't care what sport it is. Wrestling's got to be the hardest combat sport, you know, even harder than MMA, in my opinion, because, you know, it's two guys going out there and grinding head to head, and the moment one person, you know, lets off the gas, boom, you're on your back, match is over. So anybody that, you know, grows up wrestling knows that it's one of the best tools a boy can have learning how to become a man.
Yeah, for sure, and I would think that that probably also extended to, you know, your own journey as well. Like, I would think that your journey in wrestling thought to, like, maybe you're thinking like, oh yeah, it'd be good to get my kids into this. Like, was it something you sort of suggested, or was it like something they kind of came to you with initially and wanted to try out?
It definitely played its part. So wrestling was the only sport I had in my life where it was like a real sport, you know. It was like, you know, football, baseball, all that stuff just felt like playing a game of Monopoly, you know. Winning and losing was just kind of like, yeah, okay, cool, or well, whatever. But wrestling was the one thing where it was like, it's on you. When you win, it's the most amazing feeling. And when you lose, it's the most horrible feeling, you know. You just go out there and get your ass kicked in front of all your friends and family. And that teaches you humility, you know, how to be humble and how to, you know, learn from your mistakes and pick yourself up after you fall. And so wrestling has always been something that was instilled in my life. But I was more, I was kind of a wild, lost kid, you know. I also raced motocross too, so I was always kind of like that kid that was like seeking a thrill, kind of living on the edge, kind of a style. So naturally, you know, I just kind of started taking to fighting. I planned on wrestling in college, and went to school for about a week, and then decided that MMA is what I wanted to do with my life.
Yeah, and quite a journey so far in the sport, and the latest chapter of that. Definitely an interesting one. I mean, I'm kind of curious about like the late replacement kind of dynamic, because like I said from the top, you obviously ended up getting, you know, quite a quick victory. So it would seem from that the adaptation to the opponent switch was pretty smooth. But, you know, what were the thoughts kind of like, you know, switching up the opponents in relative, you know, close proximity to the event? Like, were there like different amendments to your approach that you had to, I guess, bring to the forefront, or maybe not so much?
Oh, you know, not so much. Like, I kind of approach the fight just like every other fight, you know, and I, you know, I obviously study a little bit about what my opponent's strengths are, what their weaknesses are, but, you know, that's such a small part. You know, it all comes down to what I do, my preparation, and how I go out there and how I perform, and I know how to go out there and, you know, perform to the best of my ability, and wherever the fight goes, you know, I'm able to adjust and you know, that doesn't matter who the opponent is. And that just, you know, so obviously the difference between, you know, Gustavo versus Tyson was just the pressure. You know, Gustavo has got that Wanderlei Silva style, you know, straightforward pressure, going to be in your face, and he's going to make it a dogfight. Whereas I knew Tyson was a little more calculated with his striking, was going to, you know, try to work out his counters. And yeah, so that's really the only difference between, like, you know, opponent changes at the last minute.
Yeah, and it was the first, you know, New Year's Eve appearance in a little while. I was noticing, like, in about three some odd years since the Taofeeq Musayev fight, how did it feel to, you know, get, like, re-interwoven into the fabric of, like, the New Year's Eve tradition and everything?
Man, yeah, let's But Ryzen's just been so amazing with me. You know, that from the very first fight I had with Yachi, that was a New Year's Eve card. You know, the only New Year's Eve cards I missed were due to COVID. You know, so I've been fortunate enough to fight on quite a bit of these cards, and you know, just to have that kind of, you know, support and that kind of, you know, backing by Ryzen, man, there's nothing that feels better, you know. And the Japanese fans fighting in Saitama on New Year's Eve, that's legendary stuff, you know. And it feels really good to be a part of that, you know, more so than any place I've ever been in my career.
Yeah, I saw you had a post like a bit after the fight talking about how it's like such a beautiful journey and everything, and it's not necessarily oriented to like reaching a particular destination, but just getting to, you know, experience great things and meet awesome people along the way. So it kind of seemed like another fun chapter within all of that as well.
Yeah, man. Like, the thing is, so I've never lost three in a row in my entire career, you know, and I was on a 3-fight losing streak. You know, granted, two of them were to, you know, world champions, but it's like you get to a point where it's like, do I still have it? Do I still have what it takes to compete at the top level? You know, and I was kind of the point where I was like, you know, if I go into this fight and I lose, like, I might not have a career, you know, I might be done fighting, you know, and maybe the game just passed me by, you know. So I had those thoughts. And so, you know, I gave it like every other fight, went out there, tried my best, put in a great camp, and went out there. And, you know, I think all that pressure, maybe just I knew my back was against the wall and I wasn't done fighting. And when I'm done fighting, I'm going to go out on my terms and nobody else's terms. So, you know, I just went out there and performed.
Yeah, and I wasn't too sure on that necessarily, because as much as you had been on the 3-fight specific, you know, losing skid in MMA, I just didn't know how the sentiment might have felt, because you also have been, you know, concurrently doing well in boxing. So like, you really felt like a pretty pronounced sense of relief, I would have to imagine. I mean, if you're talking to the scale of, oh, maybe I might be, you know, done within mixed martial arts, like, I would think that this would have been a tremendous, like, you know, affirming and cathartic kind of victory, I'd imagine.
Most definitely. And like, just this whole experience, man, just like having Satoshi invite me out to train with them to get ready. And, you know, just the things, like, you know, when I lost to Satoshi, like when I finally got the chance, you know, after COVID, after everything that happened, and I didn't know if I was ever going to get back to Japan and fight again, you know. And then I finally get the fight, and not only is it, you know, back in Japan, it's everything, but it's also a guy that I beat, and it's for the world title. Everything I've ever wanted, you know what I mean? And not only that, I already beat the guy. So in my mind, there's nothing in the world that's going to stop me from becoming a world champion, you know? And I truly put in the best camp of my life when I fought Satoshi the second time. That was the best version of myself I think I've ever been. And, you know, to go out there and still lose, I was, you know, it really hurt me. It really took a lot out of me. And, you know, and I got to the point where it was like, man, if I'm not a champion, then who am I, you know? And if I'm a nobody, then what the hell am I doing in a sport full of killers, you know? And it just, going there and talking with Satoshi, it allowed me to kind of switch my mindset, you know? It's like, instead of that mindset of like, well, if I'm not a champion, then I'm a nobody and I might as well hang it up. Instead, it was like, you know, no. Like, I do this because I love to fight, because I'm good at it, because I enjoy the lifestyle. And that's enough, you know? And if I'm ever a world champion, well, then I'll get to that point when I come to it. But for now, just fighting, winning fights, getting paid, enjoying my family. That's everything I ever wanted anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, it really shows how much, like, the mentality is, like, such a huge factor in the whole thing. Like, you can have all the physical attributes in the world, but just can be, like, a residual kind of thing sometimes. Like, I was seeing a chat you had with, you know, John Hyun Ko, where that almost seemed to be the dynamic in the Koji Takeda loss, and not to take anything away from Takeda, obviously, but like maybe more of a byproduct of, like, I guess being deflated from like the title bid not panning out. So it just really shows how the momentum can build, whether positive or negative in this sport.
Yeah, most definitely, man. The Takeda, and that's it too, because, yeah, exactly, not taking anything away from Takeda. Takeda's a freaking warrior. You know, but after that fight, it was like, okay, she goes like, hey, you want another fight? You want to get paid? You haven't fought. And, you know, you've been sitting on the for COVID. And, you know, me, I was like kind of 1 foot in, like a lot of the fire in my heart was kind of taken out. You know, I was like, fuck, like, sure. I mean, and they offered me the fight and I was like, yeah, on paper, I'll kick the shit out of this guy. Right. Like, but I didn't take into account the one thing that is the most important thing in a fight. And that's heart. And that's will to fight, you know, I was in there just to get paid that night, and he was there willing to die, you know, and that's why he won the fight. So, and that just goes to show fighting, you can have all the physical attributes, you could be 10 times more skilled, but if you don't have the fire in your heart and willing to stand and, you know, impose your will, then you're not going to get very far, you know?
Yeah, for sure, some great insights, no doubt, but I mean, your last fight kind of interwoven into that, you know, Ryzen versus Bellator kind of cross-promotional effort and stuff like that, and I mean, what were your thoughts on some of the, you know, bigger fights across that? Because, I mean, as much as it was the dynamic of Bellator getting the sweep, I felt like in the context of each of the fights, each guy had, like, a pretty good account of themselves, large in part. Like, what were your thoughts on some of the bigger, like, Ryzen versus Bellator fights and that whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, too, because I was there, you know, I was there the night, and I was in the venue with all the emotion, and I'm a little biased, you know what I mean? But from what I saw ringside, I thought, you know, the Takeda fight was such a good fight. It was such a close fight. But I thought Takeda finished the fight a lot stronger than his opponent did. So I thought that fight could have been – it was definitely a split decision, very close fight. I thought that fight could have been awarded to Takeda. And then Choi against Archuleta, I thought no doubt, like, Choi won the fight because, you know, he had him in a couple of darce chokes. Like, you know, as far as, like – finishing the fight and attacking stuff, whether it was the submissions or, you know, he was constantly, I think he had more attacks throughout the fight, so I give the fight to him. The Horiguchi fight, I think that they called that one, right, obviously, versus Hiromasa. Then, you know, the Kleber fight, again, I think, you know, Pitbull probably won that fight, but had Kleber been, you know, a little more, taking a little more risk, maybe he could have got that one. And then, you know, I think, and this one's hard because I'm biased too, but I think Satoshi honestly won the fight against AJ, you know, spent more time, spent the whole second round on his back, like, you know, so, I don't know. It's, again, I'm biased and, you know, I got skin in the game, so I'm always going to see what I want to see as far as my guys winning the fight, but that was my honest take from it.
Just such an interesting time for, like, the lightweight ranks because, I mean, you're talking about how you thought Satoshi won and it does seem like there's some people who did have that perception too, but at the same time, it's like there's this kind of outside looming guy who has like a victory over the champion. And as we're talking about, it seems like there's good parity within the division, like certain guys having good statement wins over each other and everything like that. So it should be like a fun, you know, lightweight picture to follow, at least with like the title going forward in Ryzen.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, it's very interesting indeed because I saw the rankings, or I saw somebody say something about it. And it said that they thought that I was, like, third in the division. And I was like, well, who's number two? And they're like, well, Takeda, of course. But I'm like, I mean, it's hard to argue because he's got a win over me, but I wouldn't say that either, you know. And there's a lot of guys, you know, I think Gustavo, you know, I think him and I honestly would be going for the second and third spot, in my opinion. But, yeah, but there's still so many guys that are still coming in, too, like, you know, oh, man, there's a bunch of, what the hell is that guy's name? Coming from Bellator, Spike Carlisle. But, you know, there's a lot of good talents coming in. So it's definitely not short of any good matchups.
Yeah, I would think that would be exciting for you, just like with the cross-promotional dynamics, just probably facilitates you getting to fight, you know, I mean, obviously a great pool with Ryzen too, but now you get to dip into two pools potentially, depending on how, you know, all of this plays out. Like, would that be something that would hold any interest for you in the future, like maybe being part of Team Ryzen if it made sense, or doing some kind of crossover effort?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm a company man, you know. Ryzen has been so good to me, you know, as far as like all the, you know, UFC, PFL, like Ryzen's the one that's like treated me the best, you know. And like, as an employee, you know, obviously you're gonna want to go where it's best, so I'll be with Ryzen, you know, as long as they'll have me. But, you know, the good thing about Ryzen is, like, you know, you can take fights otherwise. As long as you're not under contract with anybody, like, you know, they allow me to do pro boxing, you know? So it's a pretty silly thing not to go with Ryzen, you know? They treat me so well. There's way more benefits than there are negatives. And, you know, but, and I know that they work with Bellator as well. So, you know, the chance of fighting with Bellator would be, you know, a real possibility as well.
Yeah, and that's the cool thing about it, because like you said, you can still maintain like a core kind of presence within Ryzen, but also outside opportunities with, you know, Bellator potentially, like you're saying, and, you know, also boxing. And to that point, I'm kind of curious, because you've been active in the boxing space. Like, you were the last time we were talking, but I mean, racking up even more wins, and seems like you really have like an aptitude for that. Like, do you think your next contest is going to be like gloved boxing or perhaps MMA, you're thinking?
Well, I was hoping to actually come back and get another boxing fight, right around this time, after my Ryzen fight, but it just, boxing works a lot different with like promotions and stuff, you know, and, the guys I was going to fight with was going to be around like May or June. And so I'm hoping to, you know, if it's May or June, I'm doing an MMA fight instead. But yeah, no, boxing is still something I'm very interested in. It's just, it's all about making the right decisions early on, and, you know, and, but you know how like boxing is like, you know, 10-0 or whatever, like the manager kind of like guides the fighter instead of like the fighter paying the manager, you know? So it's just a little slower process, and I'll take more fights when I can get them. But MMA is my main focus right now. You know, I'm right at the tip top of the mountain, you know, and as far as my career goes, and it'll be my 17th year as a professional MMA fighter this year. And I'm so close to achieving the goal, all the goals I've ever wanted to achieve in the sport, just be a world champion. And then we can worry about chasing a world title in boxing.
Well, that's kind of interesting, like how you're talking about this. It's almost like you're looking to, you know, cement yourself as like a champion and Ryzen by like the end of the year. And I would think that if that, you know, Gustavo fight gets rebooked and everything, like you were talking about the perception of where both of you guys are at in the division among like people who ardently follow Ryzen. So I would think that could be like a potential title eliminator. Is that kind of how you're also looking at it? Is that like a fair characterization?
Yeah, but now here's where it gets complicated, because it's like, you know, I'm 1-1 with Satoshi, right? He's, you know, he's like a brother to me now, you know, brought me out there, and it's like being a world champion means that I'd have to fight him again, and it's like, man, I really don't want to have to fight a brother, you know. And so it's like, you know, I don't know if by the end of the year I'll be ready, but, you know, I don't know exactly what Satoshi has planned for his MMA career, but you know, I kind of just have grace with this. And like, when it's my time to fight, I'll fight. Satoshi knows I want to be a champion too, you know, and he knows I got a family. And so, you know, if that happens and we have to fight each other, then I know he'll understand, and we can set our friendship aside and handle our business like men. But you know, I'd rather not have that fight, especially by the end of the year, you know? So who knows? I'd like to take it slow. Let's maybe get another win. And then, you know, I don't know what Gustavo's healing timeline is, but maybe I get a win. Gustavo comes back, gets a fight. Then we fight, you know, so maybe a year or two down the line. Who knows?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it seems like a good training situation recently with like Bonsai Jiu-Jitsu and everything like that. I mean, such a great space, I would think. Like, I mean, obviously Satoshi, a great guy to work with, but another Ryzen champion and Kleber Koike, like I would think you'd be getting in like some really, you know, great work and stuff like that. And I mean, you have a great history of that. Like, I know you worked at like the MMA Lab and Extreme Couture previously, but I would think Bonsai is even adding some, you know, new skills and everything to what you bring to the table.
Oh, without a doubt, man. And that's the thing, like I knew Satoshi was good. Like, when I fought him, when I was going to prepare to fight him and stuff, I knew he was good. But then I got to train with the guy. And, man, I trained at a lot of gyms in the world with a lot of really good, you know, fighters, really good jiu-jitsu players. And Satoshi is in a league all of his own. He's like a real special, unique, you know, Damian Maya kind of a jiu-jitsu guy. So to go in there and work with those guys, I mean, even the blue belts at his gym were just freaking just phenomenal, you know, and they're always attacking. And it gave my style a lot of fits, because I'm more of like a catch wrestler looking to control and pin and punch. And it was like, man, I couldn't hold a guy down. You know, for the first month I was there, I couldn't even hold their blue belts down. They were just constantly attacking. So, yeah, I mean, definitely I learned a lot. But the main thing is just, you know, I was able to work on a lot of personal things, you know, and being able to talk with him, with Satoshi, and, you know, kind of work it out. Like, you know, like brothers in arms, you know, warriors of the guild, you know, sitting by the fire, you know, helping each other out after battle. So it was really good spiritually. You know, more so than technically.
Yeah, I'd be curious to get your insights, because now you're like, so, you know, direct to it now. I was trying to explain this to a buddy of mine named Matt Wells, who's like recently getting into Ryzen and trying to figure out like the lay of the land. And I'm like describing how like Kleber and, you know, Roberto's jiu-jitsu is just really different than a lot of guys out there, like in a few different ways, like in as far as how like the guard pull is like a legitimate thing when they do it. And there's like a lot of nuance to it and in MMA context. And it seems like when they snap on like triangles or arm bars, it's like a bear trap almost. Like, what do you think is different about their jiu-jitsu maybe as compared to some other people out there?
Their attention to detail, the way that they do the little things perfectly, almost mechanically, like a machine. It's just, they get to their perfect position, they lock the position, and there's no space for scrambling, there's no anything. They're just perfect. They've just drilled and drilled and drilled, and they know their spot bodies, and they know how to, you know, put their bodies in positions and lock positions before, you know, I'm able to entice a scramble or before anybody can really defend it, you know?
Yeah, I appreciate the insights. Just such a, you know, beautiful thing to watch, like when those guys are out there doing their thing, and a cool thought that you're, you know, taking in those skills and adding that to, you know, what you're doing as well. But I just had, like, I guess, like a last question here in as far as, like, we were talking about, you know, competing next, and it seems like you're gravitating towards MMA. Like, would the, I guess, desired next fight be, you know, getting on that Ryzen card there? Because it looks like they sent out, like, a press release for Ryzen 41 the other day. So is that kind of, like, maybe the desired next fight you'd like to take kind of thing, like, getting a spot on that card?
Yeah, most definitely. So, is that the one that's in Hawaii, I heard? The Ryzen 41?
It looks like Ryzen 41 is in Osaka, but looks like there's, like, a schedule of a few events. It looks like, it looks like there's, like, a couple events in April and then an early event in May from what I'm seeing so far. It looks like the Hawaii one is tentatively set for end of June from what I'm seeing on the schedule.
Okay. Well, I don't know if I can really release it, but I heard that they were doing a card in Hawaii.
It's out there.
Yeah, so that's what I'm trying to land. So my sons, I have two sons, and they've never been to one of my big, like, you know, world stage level fights. And I think, you know, Hawaii would be real easy to do that, you know, not taking them out of the country. So I'm hoping for that. I'm hoping for Hawaii, and then it'll be a good, you know, a good time for my boys to see me fight. And then we'll see where we're at after that.
Yeah, I kind of skimmed that press release, actually. That gets me excited. The thought of me being tangibly able to go and check something out like that, too, is pretty cool. Maybe I'll float over there and everything. So, no, that's awesome. Seems like a lot of great potential options this year, man. But you've been really good with your time. I want to be mindful of the rest of your, you know, schedule and what you're getting up to, though, Johnny. So to that point, is there anything you might want to add as like a parting thought as we're kind of wrapping up here, man?
No, man, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much. And I really apologize for yesterday. And dude, you should, if you can make it out to Hawaii, you should come out, man. It'd be an honor to meet you and, you know, meet my boys. And yeah, we talk after that.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of ingredients there. Ryzen, Hawaii, a lot of it sounds really fun. So, yeah, I'm definitely thinking about it. So, yeah, that would be cool, man.
Absolutely. Yeah, it'd be an honor, brother. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, thank you, man. A great win at Ryzen 40, and I appreciate the insights on that and also everything you have on the go and looking to, you know, actualize into reality going forward. So, yeah, whenever the next fight gets set up, we'll have to, you know, have another chat. But until then, you have a good rest of your day there, man.
Heck yeah, brother. You too. Talk to you later.